Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a lot in store, and I actually wanted to follow up on what we were closing the show with yesterday, which is regarding abortion and so forth. But before we do, let me do all of this stuff that you expect me to do while people are still kind of logging on and tuning in. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that provides you with the constitutional perspectives as well as the constitutional directions that we need to take in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The federal government is doing so many things, as you probably know, and if you've been listening to the show, then you're very well aware of this. The federal government is doing so many things that are outside their scope within the Constitution that if you understand what tyranny means making arbitrary rule. Almost everything they are doing is tyrannical. Over 80%, if you actually add up how much money and people are working in government that are doing things outside of the scope of the Constitution, well, then it all falls under tyranny. So we need to help motivate you to get all of us to come together in focusing all of our representatives to demand compliance to the Constitution. And I'll put a little S there, constitutions, because we need the states to obey their constitutions and get compliance out of the state public servants. But more importantly, because if a state falls, it doesn't crush, doesn't crush us, and it won't have ripples around the world like if America falls. When this republic falls, it will cause ripples around the world. And these won't be good ripples, even though those who are seeking the fall of America are looking for a very specific outcome. And they will get it if we fall in that direction on those terms. I'm just telling you that we do not have to go down this path, that we have an opportunity to demand compliance, and we can get that compliance in a relatively reasonable amount of time before the useful idiots get into the position of voting away our liberties. That means our kids, the illegals, the refugees, and everybody else that the Democrats are trying to get in here to help vote for socialism. If they could get away with it, they would send absentee ballots to China, Russia, and Cuba and everywhere else where there's socialism and or communism. Venezuela, yeah, you get the picture. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to use the show as an opportunity to help build the grassroots effort in your county, in your state. And so with that, the number to call in is 215-867-8255. I want to get into some more news, but really there, all this breaking crap about, the House is going to do a vote on hate and anti-Semitism. They don't have any business doing that. Sorry, but that's exactly what caused Jefferson and Madison to initiate their resolutions back in 1798. And as much as people, despise, words, and some words are bad, some words are better, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words should never hurt us. And we need to get back into that paradigm and back into that mentality. We need to embrace not embrace, but we need to embrace the idea of having opposing ideas, opposing words, and so forth. When we start making words illegal, we've already crossed that line. And so I hope to also get into the militia today. I didn't get a chance to get into it yesterday. But before we do, I need to do some, you know, basic obligatory groveling, and I'll try to get through this real quick. We need your help. We need your support. At the end of each show, I tell you, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help, and I mean that. If you get home before the end of the show, that's how I end the show. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. And so you don't have to help with lots of time. You don't even, if you got money, we'll take money. If you got time, we'll take whatever you can contribute. We need your help. And we have the GoFundMe campaign that is out there on GoFundMe. You can get to the link on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Or you can also contribute your time. If you want to do some research, you want to make phone calls and that type of stuff, go to local meetings and get involved, become a leader. The question is, are you a leader? Can you lead people? I mean, everybody that I know is a manager. I've yet to meet a person who can't manage. Everybody that I know gets behind the wheel of a car. At least, I don't know. Do you know anybody that doesn't have a driver's license? I only know of one person in my life, and I don't know how many people I know, but only one person that I know does not have a driver's license. And anybody that's got a driver's license can manage traffic and manage a vehicle to get from point A to point B. You don't have to lead that vehicle. You just have to manage it using all of the laws and the rules of the road and so forth to get from point A to point B safely. And you have to take a test to show that you can manage a car. That's why we have a license. And to be clear, I just want you to understand that everybody can manage, but not everybody can lead. And I believe that if you understand what is wrong and what can be done about it, standing up is leading. So you're more than welcome to join us and take a stand where you live just by emailing me info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will get you engaged right there in your community, in your state, and so forth. There are two other ways you can get involved in two really good constitutional efforts. One is with the Constitution Club, and that would be with Keith Broders on constitutionclub.ning.com. And the other mechanism of getting involved is helping our First Right in getting that one amendment that they're working on, focused on getting the First Amendment out of the Bill of Rights, amended and into the Constitution. Do your research. Both of these organizations and both those efforts are very worthwhile, and we'd like to see real traction in those two efforts. That's why we're helping them or supporting them, and we're asking you to do the same. So with that, as you also know, I did check the news. I cannot find anywhere where the federal government is going to relinquish any of, your state won't even relinquish any of its roles, responsibilities, and powers that it shouldn't be doing, right? I mean, have you ever known a bully to stop bullying or just do things because, you know, or stop doing something because that's the right thing to do? Heck no. If they can get away with taking advantage of you, they're going to continue to take advantage. You know, there was a day when Americans did not like bullies. And now we have a government that is bullying us and doing all sorts of things it should not be doing. Right? Why is America allowing its government to bully its citizens? Right? There's all these campaigns of stopping the bullying. Let's stop unconstitutional government, because it is the epitome of bullying. So with the fact that they're not going to relinquish any of these unconstitutional powers, that means we have to do this. That's what Reclaiming the Republic is all about. That's why we need your help. There are a lot of good organizations out there, but not one of them has a tangible solution that will literally And I mean this. I use the word literally a lot because it's not figuratively. It is actually the word literally, and we literally have the solution, and that is using the state legislatures, using their constitutional authority in getting the federal government into compliance. And so with that, let me kind of move into what I want to get into. Now, I need to cover some ground that I've covered before. And what I did yesterday was I talked about the abortion issue, right? And I realize I've only got a minute, so I'm not going to get into Madison's property essay, but I want to go through Madison's property essay because I think it's really important. So I want to dive into that as soon as we get back from the break. But I want to first set the stage by saying, I want you to forgive me if what I say seems curt or kind of, you know, maybe a little abrasive on, you know, your sensitivities on how you look at children, you know, babies, creation, procreation, and those types of things. But I want to take a very pragmatic approach, and I want you to get an understanding. You know, the way we value life, you know, as people recognize, human life and the value of human life is degrading significantly. But we have lived in a time that they did not enjoy as framers. And I'll get into that as well before we get into the property rights. So as soon as we get back, I will kind of give you the paradigm and the big shift that we're going through as soon as we get back from the break. So thank you so much, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so as I was going into the break, I was telling you that we're going through a degradation paradigm shift where it seems like kids today have no value for human life, and violent games and the video games and those types of things. You know, if you asked the average kid, average boy that plays video games, how many people or how many things have you killed in your video, you know, experiences through life? And they could probably tell you thousands of people or thousands of things. if you want to keep the humanity out of it. But the fact of the matter is that that's how they're being trained or indoctrinated and or being entertained. And so it's a very debasing thing, and it desensitizes humanity when, you know, you got to do this. And remember, Germany killed their grandparents and those who were disabled, physical disabilities, mental disabilities. They killed them first before they put the, you know, started going after the Jews. And so what kind of corner does a society have to go around before they all of a sudden say, yeah, you know, we got to, you know, grandma, we're taking you into town on a special trip. What do you do? I mean, anyway, the whole point is that we as a society back in, you know, in the early 20th century towards the counterculture revolution of the 60s, we really enjoyed a quality of life that most societies before us did not enjoy. I mean, we were the first society to really enjoy a very low infant mortality rate. And I want to focus on this. Back in the days of the framers, when John Adams had children, they didn't name their children. And this was the common practice in that age. They didn't name their kids until they got to age two. They called them the guest, the visitor, or what have you. Because the likelihood, and that's why they had lots of kids, the likelihood of the child dying was really high. So they, you know, they had a different paradigm towards life and children, infant mortality, and so forth. But I want to tell you that they understood what they were doing, because the term procreation, you know, is kind of an old term, right? Madison most eloquently states when it comes down to property, he says it best. So that's why I want to go through his property essay. And this is what he says in 1792. This term, in its particular application, that means dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. In its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and in the free communication of them. In other words, he has property in his ability to say what he wants to say. He has a property, going on, this is what he says, he has a property of particular value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. And I want to stop right there. If you understand what happens when two consenting adults get together, they're making a choice that the outcome would be another life. Therefore, they're making a choice of using the free use of their faculties in employing their efforts in creating something. And so from that perspective, I want to move forward. But I think we need to start using a different paradigm when it comes to life and conception and property. To set the stage, as I just read this, I want you to now start thinking about having a particular property in one, your religious views, and, you know, not just these physical objects, but actually in the in life itself, in your life and your property, in being able to sustain your name, as well as your, you know, your physical estate, as well as your mental property, your ideas, and those types of things. And so property are our ideas. In other words, as Madison was saying, our expressions are our ideas. And I even assert that Christianity, there are property in the things that we create, with understanding what we are doing in going into the decision of making. Because the question is, and I had this conversation with my associate regarding creation. When is the beginning of conception? Well, the beginning of conception isn't necessarily the beginning of the physical act, right? There has to be a consent. And I believe that when two human beings that have the power of creation consent in moving forward, I believe that's the beginning of conception. If whether it actually creates the child in the first attempt or the 20 or down the road, I truly believe that it is the decision of the two in deciding to do that. In a way, if you understand that these creations are physical, intellectual, spiritual, emotional, financial, all of the above, in creating children, we are co-creators with our Creator. As we know, we have an accountability to our Creator for our children that we create, right? I mean, how many have heard that we are supposed to raise our children in the ways of the Lord? And so we have a responsibility until that life can take its own accountability, right? But we also have a property right in this creation in mixing our DNA with our spouse and creating a whole new genetic line. And what we're really talking about is when two people that are obviously of the opposite sex decide, because they have yet, and they're going to do this, my friends, they have yet to make a person coming from two men or a person coming from two women. In other words, two eggs or two sperms, what have you, right? They're constantly, you know, getting eggs and sperm samples and so forth and making kids, but it's a lot of money to go down that other path. And that's why when I set the stage, when I talk to people about, you know, orientation and those types of things, you know, I always ask people, look around yourself in this room. How many people are the byproduct of homosexuality? Not one of us. And not one of us naturally. When they start creating children that is from two of the same gender via, you know, the test tube, petri dish, what have you, that's not natural. Every life that I know of today, the way they're leaping bounds in technology, biology, and all these other things, that they may have actually created it by now, but there has yet to be a child that has been created and raised by two, you know, people of the same gender. And that's why I ask people, well, how many people out there are, you know, byproducts of homosexuality? There aren't any. Our race is dependent on heterosexuality. And I've said this before, and I'm going down the wrong tangent on this, but I've said this before. If you start to make a choice and you want to go down this path of living a specific lifestyle, well, there are consequences to your decisions, and that's okay. I'm not here to tell you that you can't make that decision. I may think that your decision is erred, but don't come back and tell the rest of us that, hey, you know, there are consequences that I don't want to live with. What? Well, I can't have a child, so I want you to give me one so that we can have our own kid. And there you go. And then we start taking away the consequences, and that is wrong. Society should never be taking away the consequences of your decisions. just because they can, it's wrong. It's morally wrong. Whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, when you do something that's damaging to you, or you do something that takes you out of a very specific ability, there you go. There are consequences. And a pragmatic person completely understands that. A sympathetic person tries to, you know, mollycoddle and overcome and so forth. But I digressed a little bit. In essence, what we're talking about, what I am talking about, is we have co-creation rights and responsibilities. And these rights and responsibilities cannot be severed spiritually, physically, and or even legally. And with that, I can continue when we come back off the break. Because I think I've got your either your ire or your interest up. And I want to talk about the court and this father going after those who aborted his child without his consent. We will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so, as I was just saying, going into the break, that we cannot be severed from our rights and responsibilities from our children. Right? I mean, how many fathers have been dragged into court because they're deadbeat dads? They have a legal, financial responsibility to ensure that the welfare of that child is being taken care of. Are we going to go down the path of saying, well, government's going to take care of all of that stuff and, you know, child support and all that stuff just goes away because the government has become the overlord or the government has become the parent? I am telling you, the empirical data and the evidence is overwhelming that the federal government is doing everything they can to take away our parental rights. And I'm just wanting to, in response to what is going on in Alabama, where this man is now suing the abortion clinic and the people involved in aborting his child, I think it's really important that we understand that the father actually does have rights. He consented in that act as well. It took two people. Okay? And so We have to maintain this paradigm that it takes two people. So yesterday, like I said, I was talking about this guy going to court. And to be clear, parental rights are tantamount to property rights. These property rights only expire once that child can reach an age of accountability and the capability of providing for themselves. Now, under Obama, apparently that's 26 years old. I think we need to remove the ability for kids to vote until they can get their own health care. We used to make it 18. Because that's when a child could still, go to war and all of that type of stuff. That was a brutal society then. And now parents are on the hook for supporting their kids until age 26. And as a matter of fact, that even goes into the divorce courts and so forth, where a father, because this is interesting, it's all for the children, right? But really, it's because we live in a misandrist society, or the majority of the people they knew would be fathers that would be impacted. And so if you happen to be living a lifestyle that could not guarantee and could not even afford to send your kids to college, right? Well, if you get divorced, that child then has a right to make you pay for their college. And even though you can't afford it, they have this right to come after you for the financial reimbursement to cover the expenses. And so the court has no boundaries in holding people accountable. And unfortunately, the court needs to start recognizing that people actually have rights. And we need to start changing our paradigm regarding our property rights. That's why I specifically read that. I would ask you to go read this whole essay. These property rights, again, like I said, they may expire when the child reaches 18, but they may not. I have a friend that is blessed with a child that has mental and physical disabilities, and he gets to be the parent of that child his whole life. And that's a real blessing for a parent, because I know the joy of, having a child in your life. And it's heartbreaking as you grow up and your kids, go off and they get their own lives. I think Harry Chapin wrote a song called Cats in the Cradle, right? Anyway, I digress. So when does one's property rights begin and has been... And think about this, has been the subtext to the question regarding abortion. And I go back to the whole point of that decision. I will tell you, it is when two people consent to engaging in the act of creation. It's not when, when science has actually said, the egg is penetrated. No, I don't think so. I think it is when the decision is we're going to become parents. And that was the age of society. And this is why I believe that it is the decision process, and this is GR's humble opinion, that is the point of conception for creation. Again, if you go back to that essay, and I'll just reference what I said again, he says, he has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. So he has placed property in that act. If you understand that concept, then we have property in our children. And as those children grow and they start to make decisions for themselves, we kind of relinquish, and give them their property rights to be able to make their decisions. And hopefully by the time they're 18, you can take the training wheels off the decisions and so forth, and they're going to go out in society and become productive members and not become leeches and depend upon the producers to provide for everything that they need. We need to start really changing a lot of our paradigms. But the best way to do that, the best foundation, is to take away government's unconstitutional ability by enforcing the Constitution in getting them out of taking away the consequences of bad behavior. So again, at the point of when one's intent is to engage in the practice of making a baby, I believe that is the establishment of property, when two people are creating some property. Even if one is doing this for strictly fun or what they call the good old time, this does not negate the underlying act and its potential byproduct. If it takes two to do this, to establish dual consent, then I will tell you this consent establishes legal co-creation of life. So what's going to happen, ladies, is we're going to get to a point where people, before they make or give consent for whoopee, they're going to have a legal form to say, okay, guy's going to have to, because of the Me Too movement, right? He's going to have a consent to say, I'm not forcing myself on you. And she's going to have a consent to say, you have to waive all your rights if the byproduct is a child. Right? I think, unfortunately, we're going down that point. And apparently we're going to need more lawyers to be able to deal with our society because, lawyers are great at creating work. But I will tell you that it's a good sign when we start standing up for our property rights. When you start seeing, and what really kind of connected this conversation for me today was the fact that Congress is in session to try to legislate speech and the act thereof. You can hate anything you want to as long as your hate causes no harm to anyone else. Your words cannot cause harm to anyone else unless you're actually lying or what have you, right? I mean, you can't libel somebody. You can't go and say things about somebody that are untrue or incorrect or fabrication or mischaracterizing a person. You could be held liable for that. And as a matter of fact, I believe that's what's going on with that case of the two opposing activists in D.C. when the kid that was wearing the MAGA hat, he's going after a bunch of people. And you can do that. There's plenty of lawyers out there to take your money and go to court. But the point is that we need to start fighting for our rights. We have property in our rights, and we have rights in our property. And we have to start standing up, because if you understand you have a right to get a toilet that will flush using 5 gallons or however much water you need to get that byproduct of yours out to where you want it to be, not just, just a couple feet away because you can only, throw a quart or 2 quarts down the tube. We have rights and we need to start asserting, because if not, remember I told you over 80% of what the federal government is doing is tyrannical. That's going to continue to grow and continue to grow and continue to grow. Anyway, I'm really thankful that this guy is exercising his legal right to be equally involved in the decision process, and I believe this will actually have a positive effect, at least on the fact of men being able to stand up and say, you know what, if you're going to engage, this will set precedents to say you can't just go and get an abortion, because the act itself was not a self, a me only thing. And so I just wanted to kind of put that perspective, because our paradigms have shifted a lot. But I will tell you that in previous centuries, they understood very, very well, what that act was, and they understood the byproduct and who's responsible and who's legally accountable, as well as spiritually and so forth. And so I just want to tell you that this is a good thing, and we need to start exercising more and demanding and asserting more of our rights over our property that has been stolen from us. With that, we'll be right back, and we're going to get into the militia when we get back after I talk about a couple more things, but we will get into the militia. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So Madison talks about his profession and, you know, or professions in this property. And I'm sorry for going down this tangent because this came up today. I was at the doctor with somebody else and helping them. And so as I was sitting there talking, I was mentioning the fact that the reason we have socialized medicine, the reason why we're living under a large umbrella of socialism, is because it's not because we didn't see this coming. Doctors had the shot across the bow back in 93 when Hillary floated and started her campaign on Hillary Care, right? Oh, just because we stopped that didn't mean the socialism got tucked away and, you know, gone. It went to the landfill and no more. Doctors should have saw the warning, and doctors should have engaged at that point in time in becoming far more supportive of a free market and started investing in politics. I'm here to tell you, politics costs money. And those people like Soros, Gates, and the rest of them are buying the best politics and government their money can buy. The fact of the matter is that at the local level, you can easily thwart their activity by just spending a little bit of money in helping promote and educate people on the reasons why we need to go in a different direction. It does take a little time. And you can't gloss over this stuff. You can't. You have to really show people the details so that they understand. The fact is, when you gloss over it, next thing you know, you've got socialized grocery stores. Instead of you having the free market in groceries, there's no doubt the government is already in agriculture. They're already providing food and so forth. What's to keep them from socializing food? I mean, it is a fundamental, essential thing. They regulate it to the nth degree, well beyond any enumerated power, because it's not enumerated in the Constitution. So the fact is, what's to keep anything else from becoming socialized? Are you a dentist? You're next. There's no doubt in my mind, people are going to say, hey, you know, I'm paying way too much money for, you know, my dental care. Why don't we socialize this too? Because that's going to become the solution for everything until we start pushing back and understanding what the free market can do. And doctors need to be the ones, if they want to reverse the socialized medicine, they need to be the ones investing heavily in Republic Review and helping us get constitutional people into the state legislators, constitutional politicians and public servants at every level, so that we can actually have people pulling the trigger on auditing the constitutions and forcing everybody to get back into the framework of the Constitution and allowing the free market to heal itself. I know the longer we go down this path, the more, you know, the more bleeding it will be to pull these splinters out of us, if you want to call them. Because we're impaled. And the fact is, the longer you leave these things, we get impaled more and more. We're dying. And this is a very a torturous death. And we are suffering. We need to actually get people to recognize that it costs money. That's why if you start planning now, 1 gallon a week, just whatever it costs for a gallon of gas, just save $2, $2.50, $3 a week. That's 52 weeks, right? So that's 100. That's only between now and 2020, it's only going to be maybe 150, 200, $300. Okay? But that $300 from every conservative going into, and you don't even have to put all of it into a single campaign. What I'm asking is if you donate that money into these red states, because if we've got, let's just say, just for an even number, we got 10,000 people. You know, what's $300 on top of 10,000? Yeah, that's a lot of money. And now I've got $300 or even $100, right? Add two zeros behind 10,000. That's a lot of money, my friends. And what we can do with that money is we can inject that in making sure that these constitutional candidates get across the finish line in Wyoming and a couple of these other states. See, how much does it cost to buy a campaign in Wyoming? How much does it cost for somebody to run a campaign? Well, it costs about, I think the average campaign for a state legislator is somewhere between $2,000 to $5,000. How much does it cost in a blue state? I'm going to tell you, it's tens of thousands of dollars. I know where I live in a blue state, it's probably in the neighborhood of somewhere between $20,000 to $50,000 easily to run a campaign. These red states are cheap, and that's why Soros and the rest of the country is, or I should say not the rest of the country, the rest of the progressives are just throwing whatever's necessary to help these guys get across the finish line. We can beat them at this. If we get David to stand up, we get people to start following this model, this is the game changer. I hope you understand this. This is truly a game changer, but we need your help. We need a little bit of your help in one way or another. And most of you, if you really think about it, you could easily save the money and be ready to do this next summer in 2020, just a little over a year away, and or where we really need that money is going into the primaries. Because the primary is what makes and breaks who's going forward. It's in these red states, it's not about the Republican or the Democrat. It's a slam dunk. especially in places like Wyoming and the Dakotas. Now, North Dakota, they lost some seats. They went from, I think, the fourth or fifth most conservative state to the 15th. They lost like 10 slots. So they lost, I think, more seats than just 10. And we need to get those seats back. But what we need to do is we need to vet out who are the most constitutional candidates coming up in the primaries in each of these states. And that's where we're going to be focused. And that's where we need your help. So let me kind of get into real quick some of these news. As I said, if you understand what's going on the census side with the citizenship, this is really big. You may not be aware of this, but I've mentioned this before. Since the 80s, the census has stopped asking about citizenship. What does that mean? Well, what does the census do? The census gets all this data, so who cares? It counts how many people need representation. How many illegals do you believe are in California? Do the math. How many more representatives does California have than your state? And you don't have hardly any illegals in your state. You would have better representation, but California, and because they have the illegals as a part of their census, that's how they get more representation. So it becomes even a bigger problem with that's why this has to be addressed. In addition to our First Right campaign in trying to get representation down to 50,000 people. Well, technically, if you've got, let's say there's 10 million, divide 10 million. Let's go with 2 million. How many 50,000 increments are in 2 million that California would get representation for illegals? That's why we have to stop this. You need to start communicating to the Senate and your House representatives that they need to start asking about citizenship. Citizenship matters, especially when it comes to representation. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, because I want to be very clear, Christianity is not, I'm not going to have time to get in the militia. We will do this tomorrow. I promise you. I will focus on this dialogue and how important the militia is in our republic. But Christianity is not tolerated in the school system. And yesterday being Ash Wednesday, kids go to school with the Ash cross on their forehead and so forth. It actually happened, and I'm sure it happened more than once, that there was at least one teacher, because it's in the news, made the kid wash the cross off their forehead. You got to be kidding me. That kid's property was violated. Once you start understanding property, then you understand that we're being taken. Our property is being stolen from us, and they're stealing far more than just money. They're literally caging us because we're just going along with it. Okay, we've got to have a separation in church and school. No, that's crap. You as a human being are endowed by your creator these rights, and you have property in these rights. The other thing that I'll really quickly say, everything that's going to come out of Mueller is really just going to, like going to the donut shop. You're just going to get fat, and they're big zeros. I don't want to waste, and I do not want this to dominate our time regarding the show, but I know that things are going to come up. The other thing is that self-driving cars apparently are racist. That came up in the news today. I'll give you a little bit more on that before we get into the militia tomorrow. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the republic, but I do need your help. God bless, and with your help, we will succeed. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.